Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome. When a woman hears her doctor say, you have breast cancer, you can just imagine what it feels like. It must be like a lightning bolt hitting you, creating confusion, fear, panic, questions that you might ask are, what do I do first? How do I know that I'm getting good care? Is this the right treatment for me? And of course, will I be okay? Well, today we're going to hear from Dr. Lynn Hartman of the Mayo Clinic. They have put together an absolutely fabulous book, and I did a lot of looking around to find something that really explained this topic in detail, and they've done a really excellent job. They call it A Lifeline for Navigating Breast Cancer. It's called the Mayo Clinic Breast Cancer Book, appropriately enough, and it's all about prevention, treatment, care, coping, and living with hope. So we're going to bring you an interview in just a moment on that. We'll also get close up and personal with Seattle freelance journalist and author Diane Mapes, who's going to share what she calls her madcap adventure with breast cancer. I contacted Diane and said I'd love for you to come on and talk to our listeners about your journey. And she said, you know what, Vicki? Journey doesn't quite cut it for me. It was more like a madcap adventure. And so we're going to talk to her in about 15 minutes. She's going to tell us what it's like dating as a single woman who's had a double mastectomy, how her hair grew back curly, her new hair grew back curly, and what it's like to live in limbo land waiting to receive the cancer-free stamp of approval. First, we're going to bring you the interview with Dr. Lynn Hartman. She's a professor of oncology at the Mayo Clinic, and she's also the associate director for education of the Mayo Clinic Cancer Center. The book was written by Mayo's breast cancer experts. And as I said earlier, it's called the Mayo Clinic Breast Cancer Book. And I sat down like 3 weeks ago. This book came out 3 weeks ago. And I sat down with Dr. Lynn Hartman then and talked to her about it and what their goals were and, you know, where the Mayo Clinic's coming from. And we're going to bring that recording to you today for the first time. Dr. Lynn Hartman. So I want to begin with the good news, Dr. Hartman. The good news is that I read deaths from breast cancer are declining. We're seeing that cancer, we're seeing it more as a longer-term manageable condition now, such as heart disease or diabetes. So I wonder if you'd talk to us about that.
Yes. The truth is that there is a lot of good news, if you can use that term in the same sentence as breast cancer. Mm. And that good news stems from a lot of research that's been done in the last decades. And that research has translated into new knowledge, our understanding of what this disease is and how it works. And that understanding, in turn, translates into new options for diagnosing the disease, treating it, and actually even preventing it. And as you said, all of this, the bottom line, if you will, is, are we making a dent in deaths from breast cancer? And we are. If you go back over the decades from when statistics were really well tallied, starting around the 30s, 1930s, we can see that starting in the early 90s, so 15 to 20 years already, the deaths from breast cancer first plateaued and then have actually begun to go down. Mm. And that is quite an accomplishment. And I'd say it's due to two big forces. One is better treatment, and the other is better screening. Women getting their mammograms and having mammograms pick up cancers earlier. Nothing is foolproof. Mammograms aren't foolproof. But those two factors, better treatment and better screening, have begun to reduce deaths from this disease.
Right. And while we're talking about screening, there is controversy around mammograms and whether they're still the best way for us to get early detection. Since you mentioned mammograms, I'm assuming that the Mayo Clinic, you're coming from the point of view that mammograms are still probably the best way to go for early detection.
That's true. I think the controversy has been, it's been fair. And I think what people are pushing back on is to say we cannot rely entirely on mammograms. Mammograms aren't perfect. They don't pick up every cancer. Unfortunately, it seems they do a better job. And this is across the board, a generalization, not true for every single case, but they tend to pick up slower growing breast cancers, ones that will sit there for and wait for the next mammogram. And the more lethal, fast growing breast cancers can show up in that interval between a woman's annual mammograms. And so we need to make sure that women know if something changes in their breast, but they had a normal quote-unquote mammogram 4 or 5 months ago, they shouldn't assume that they're okay. There are some particularly aggressive breast cancers that can show up in that interval. They didn't show up well on that last mammogram. And so she really needs to continue to be mindful of her breast tissue and certainly come in to be checked if she sees something going on.
Right. So two things pop up there. The first, should we have a mammogram every year still? Because I think it was several months ago, there was a lot of controversy around that too, with insurance companies, of course, saying we don't need them every year. And then the other thing is that we can't lump breast cancer as being one type of cancer. There are many different forms.
Yes. You know, it's just not easy at all. What we hope to get to, and I said there have been advances, and there have been major advances in the last 15, 20 plus years. One strong area of interest right now is to try to do a better job of predicting who is at increased risk and when that increased risk might be present. Now, this is in the research arena. If we can get there, then we can tailor our screening recommendations according to a woman's risk level and be a lot smarter about this. But right now, I don't think we're there. I don't have the ability to say, this particular woman I know is at a very, very low risk for the next 5 years, and thus we can skip mammograms in her. I don't feel that the science is there for us to do that yet.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, we'd like to get there. It's a goal, and people are trying, and that's the first step in achieving something like that.
Well, that's good to know, because we have to just keep in mind one size does not fit all there. Another source of controversy is genetics and the term inherited. They're often used interchangeably. If it does run in our family, we're told we should be more concerned. Does that still hold true?
Most definitely. But what I want you to try to understand is there's family patterns, and then there are slight family patterns. So a true hereditary situation, and now this is present in about 5% of breast cancer. So 95% is not hereditary, 5% or so is. There you see breast cancer in young women. You see it in generation after generation on the father's side, on the mother's side. You may see ovarian cancer. It's striking. There an actual abnormal gene is being passed from one generation to the next. Much more common, we have some family history. So a woman says, you know, my cousin had breast cancer, or my aunt, or my mother, and one relative, and maybe she had breast cancer in her 60s. That, as you can imagine, is very different from the true hereditary picture that I was describing earlier. And when you have one relative, the more common setting, it does not convey a major increased risk of breast cancer. We do, as you said, have a chapter in the book on this, trying to make sense of risk, because women fear breast cancer more than any other condition.
Right.
And when you're afraid of something, you know, it gets magnified. You think, oh my God, you know, I'm going to get this. I just know I am. And then you sort of lose your ability to process information. We felt that a book that takes on some of these tougher topics and uses pictures and stories to convey the message could help alleviate some of that tension and fear, so that women really have a better, not that we put it off and put our heads in the sand, that's not what I'm saying at all, but that women can have an accurate idea.
Yeah, but I have to tell you, this is the best book I've seen on this topic. It is really well done.
Well, thank you. We had a lot of help. We're fortunate at Mayo. We work in teams, and it takes a team to treat breast cancer today. It's not a one practitioner disease by any means, and so our colleagues in radiology, pathology, surgery, plastics, all the way along the continuum, helped prepare those relevant sections or reviewed what Dr. Laprinzi and I had prepared, and helped us with drawings that I think make this information more accessible to the average reader. And then our patients themselves were very generous in contributing their own stories in their own words. And, it's wonderful if you're facing a mountain, if you can talk to somebody who scaled it and got back down.
Absolutely.
And with their lives.
Absolutely.
And so we feel that those stories really lighten the heaviness of the information too.
They do, and the illustrations are outstanding. I mean, you really understand the biology of what's happening to the woman's body all over, which I think, you know, is a key concern. We only have a few minutes left, and I wanted to talk a little about complementary therapies, because so many people, you know, don't want to go the surgical route. Are there alternative methods out there that you recommend at Mayo?
Well, we do certainly believe in complementary therapies, but not to complement the treatments that have been shown to be effective. The reason we're able to see reduced deaths is the research that has tested current therapies, compared them to what we used to do, tried to make those therapies less toxic. But there is not a complementary approach that can take the place of removing an actual breast cancer. Now, luckily, we don't have to offer women a radical mastectomy anymore. We've studied that and come down to, for most women, the option of having the affected region removed and then the breast radiated, or this is called breast conservation. But in our minds, complementary therapies complement standard therapies, but don't take the place of them. Certainly, when women have finished their breast cancer treatment, there's a host of therapies that can help alleviate persisting side effects, mood issues, sexuality issues, whatever might be troubling to a patient, anything that can help enhance the quality of her life.
Right. You have all this covered in the book just fabulously, even how partners can help cope with this. What's the final word you'd like to leave our listeners with today on breast cancer, where it stands today?
Okay, the final word would be hope. This is
like
such
that.
A more hopeful vista than it was even 10 years ago. There's a lot going on. Stay tuned, get informed, and there's much reason for hope.
Right. The Mayo Clinic Breast Cancer Book, best book I've read on this topic. Well done. Thank you so much, Dr. Lynn Hartman, for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
And again, that was Dr. Lynn Hartman from the Mayo Clinic. That book was put together by their team of cancer experts. And please do stay with us. When we come back, we're going to get up close and personal with Seattle freelance journalist and author Diane Mapes. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Connectin and Optigest, we cover the world of animals. This week, November 11th, we're doing a special diet and nutrition show. Bob Vella from Canine Caviar joins us. Find out how the alkaline formula helps our dog friends. Also, learn why I think the quality and ingredient formula is the best I've ever seen. Also, a feline caviar with no grain, potato, or tapioca. We'll take your calls for questions, too. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 11.
At Sundown Communications, we find that most of our clients are brilliant at what they do, but they lack the time and resources to write and create business messaging that delivers results. That's where we come in, providing a diverse range of professional copywriting services for fresh strategic web content, PR, advertising and promotion, marketing, speeches, and much more. Call us today so you can focus on what you do best, and we'll do the rest. Call 800-495-7617. That's 800-495-7617.
Next week on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, Seattle-based food and lifestyle blogger and web TV host Holly Brown says cooking should be fun and dining at home with friends is the best form of entertainment. Hear how Holly developed her perfect lifestyle alongside her winemaker husband and how you can make your home the hub for friends, food, and laughter. Tune in Mondays at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair and listen to podcasts at conversationslive.net.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicki St. Clair.
Hi, I'm Linda Ellerbe. Did you know that every 3 minutes another woman gets the news she has breast cancer? I got it 11 years ago, and I know how scary it can be. Everything your doctor says sounds like a foreign language. HER2-NU, oncogene, aromatase inhibitor, ductal carcinoma in situ. What do these words mean? How are you going to decide what to do if you can't even say what you have? Please listen. As soon as you get your diagnosis, go to breastcancer.org. It's a special place on the internet where you can learn how to say all those breast cancer words and find out what they mean. At breastcancer.org, you can learn more about your particular kind of cancer and your treatment options and get all kinds of other useful information to guide you and your family through this. The first place to go the minute you find you have breast cancer, breastcancer.org.
This is Alternative Talk 1150. Got it? Cool.
And welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. Well, my next guest is Diane Mapes. She's written about everything from spelunking and swingers to ghost hunting and the laugh riot of breast cancer. Her words, not mine. She's written for many print publications and online news sites, particularly NBCNews.com. where she's a regular health contributor. She wrote the humor column Single Shot for the Seattle Post-Intelligencer for 2 years before, as she puts it, she was rudely interrupted by the newspaper folding. I think many people miss the Seattle Post-Intelligencer. Diane has also published two books, How to Date in a Post-Dating World and Single State of the Union, Single Women Speak Out on Life, Love, and the Pursuit of Happiness. And she's currently working on a couple more books. Welcome to the show, Diane Mapes.
Thank you so much.
Well, let's talk about this first, because I said you've written from everything from spelunking and swingers to ghost hunting to the laugh right of breast cancer. I thought, what the heck is spelunking? So I looked it up. I'm not sure which version you wrote about.
But going through caves.
Okay, glad to hear it, because I read that the most common interpretation is a popular activity to do out in the wilderness to explore caves and or orifices.
Were you on the urbandictionary.com, perhaps?
Yeah.
They may have some alternative definitions on that.
That's what popped up first.
No, this was the ape caves. Actually, a girlfriend and I went through the ape caves, which is a lava tube that goes underneath Mount St. Helens.
Oh, wow.
I know, and I talked a friend of mine into going on this adventure with me, and then I wrote about it for the Seattle Times.
Okay, well, I learned a new word. I learn something all the time doing this show.
I learned something going through the ape caves. Spelunking hurts.
Oh, it does. Yes. Well, let's talk a little bit about life pre-cancer. I have to say, and I really admire you for this, Diane, because you're so open and you've written so honestly about your, I called it journey. You said, no, journey doesn't quite cut it. It was more like a madcap adventure.
Journey is like I'm going to Acapulco. Breast cancer, not a journey.
But it's hard to write openly, I think, and expose yourself. You're exposing yourself in so many ways, and you've done such a great job of it and been so honest. And I think by doing that, you're doing an important service for many, many women. So let's talk a little bit about life pre-diagnosis. You were fairly active, as I understand it. You like swing dancing. You like to move. You write. You blog.
It's kind of interesting, actually. I became fairly active with all the running and the swing dancing and all of that, but I wasn't for a very long time, and I actually had gained about 50, 60 pounds that I didn't really need and started realizing this was not healthy. My cholesterol was up, so I became very determined to lose weight, and I began first walking and then walk running and watching my portions, just like they say, diet and exercise, and apparently they're right, it works. I dropped about 50 pounds over about 6 months. I was very obsessed, very determined. A lot of people questioned, why are you so obsessed with this? what's going on? You're getting a little out of control. But as it turned out, losing all that weight allowed me to notice a change in one of my breasts. When I was heavier, I didn't notice this. But when I took the weight off, I noticed I had this weird little tuck in my left breast. So yes,
another good reason to lose weight.
Another good reason to be very conscious of your body, of the changes of your body. So I started, I was very active, kind of Stella is getting her groove back. I started dating someone who was younger than me, who was quite scrumptious. It wasn't necessarily a good match, but it was a lot of fun. And then I, noticed this weird little tuck in the breast, and, I'd gone from, writing about dating, writing about very lighthearted things, also writing health for NBCNews.com,
right.
Doing some good journalism too, but also blogging about the single life and dating and all of that, and enjoying swing dancing and enjoying getting my groove back. And then suddenly it was time to, get real and get this weird little thing checked out, which my OBGYN said not to worry about it all. Oh, it's just a cyst, I'm sure, no problem. But you're due for a mammogram, because I had my mammograms every year. And the mammogram, interestingly enough, didn't see anything odd. But the ultrasound that I had done the very same day saw three masses.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then we were off to the races.
Because there's been a lot of discussion around mammograms. Now, when I talked to Dr. Hartman from the Mayo Clinic, she said mammograms, they are still the way to go on a regular basis. But things can change in between, but you have yours done the same day and the mammogram didn't show.
And it didn't show anything. I have what they, or I had, I should say, what they call dense breast tissue. A mm-hmm. lot of women do.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have dense breast tissue, I guess it means fatty breast tissue, the fat shows up, you know, with the same kind of white blobs on a mammogram that you see when you see a breast cancer,
right,
a tumor or something. So if you have dense breast tissue, you find out, number one, if you have it. I didn't know that I had it, but if, you know, if you're listening to this and you're wondering, find out if you have it first and foremost, and then, you know, talk to your doctor, and maybe in addition to getting a mammogram, you might want to get an ultrasound or some other method of screening.
Right, right. So you get diagnosed with these three masses. What happened next? Was the decision to go for chemo straight away, or
no,
what? Tell us that.
Actually, after they found the masses, first thing they do is they do a biopsy. When they did the biopsy the following Tuesday, this was on a Friday when they found the masses.
Lovely. So you have the whole weekend to...
Yeah. Thank God it's Friday and I might have cancer. Oh, no, wait. Wrong sentiment. No. The following Tuesday...
sense of humor, I can tell, is definitely helping you get through all of this.
Very much so. No, the following Tuesday I had a biopsy. During that biopsy, they found a fourth mass, which was, you know, very upsetting. But then I thought, well, at least I'm symmetrical, you know, two on each side, you know. So, right. And then... got the results from you don't get your results from the biopsy right away. They have to send it out to pathology, and they look at it and run through several tests. So 3 days later, three excruciatingly hideous, horrible, slow, you know, days later, I get a call from the radiologist, and all four of the masses are positive for breast cancer. And all four of them are the same kind of breast cancer. They're, you know, I was learning things right and left. Like, you mean there's more than one type of breast cancer?
Right, right.
I had something called invasive lobular carcinoma, which is an aggressive cancer. And they were all estrogen receptor positive, which they said was a good thing because they knew how to treat that. And they treat that with chemo. Although when I first talked to my breast cancer surgeon, she was hoping that they would just be able to do the double mastectomy and then treat it with tamoxifen, which is sort of a estrogen blocker. It keeps the, you know, cancer cells from hooking up with your estrogen cells. And since my tumors were 99% estrogen, tamoxifen was a very important part of my treatment. But when they went in to do the double mastectomy, which took place a couple months, I guess, after the diagnosis, and it was a bit of a, I hate to use the word journey, but it was a tough decision, you
right,
know.
Right.
It was you know, back and forth, up and down. You
well,
know.
Let's talk about that some more. We need to take a very quick break. We'll be right back. My guest is Diane Mapes. She's a Seattle journalist and author, and she's talking about what she calls her madcap adventure with breast cancer. We'll be right back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Every 3 minutes, another woman gets the news that she has breast cancer. And here are some of the first words she hears. HER2 new oncogene, aromatase inhibitor, ductal carcinoma in situ. What do these words mean? How are you going to decide what to do if you can't even say what you have? This is Olivia Newton-John. As soon as you get your diagnosis, you can go to breastcancer.org. It's a special place on the internet where you can learn how to say all those breast cancer words and find out what they mean. At breastcancer.org, you can learn more about your particular kind of cancer and your treatment options. Prepare a list of questions for your next doctor's visit and get all kinds of other useful information to guide you and your family through this. Breastcancer.org. The first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
Hi, this is Vicki St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.
Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job, and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges, and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicki St. Clair.
Real people, real life, real radio. Really. Alternative Talk 1150.
And welcome back, everyone. We are talking about breast cancer today. We're talking right now with Diane Mapes. She's a Seattle writer and author, Seattle journalist and author. And she's talked extensively, she's written extensively about her experience with breast cancer. And I was just saying that when I looked at a lot of bloggers and writers in the Seattle area and felt Diane was just so open and honest in her writing. And this is a tough subject for her to talk about, as it would be for anyone who's been through this experience. And, you know, she calls this her madcap adventure. And of course, it's kind of tongue in cheek there, because you have a great sense of humor, Diane. And I'm sure that's that's helped you enormously, because there are times I'm sure that you just want to bury your head in the sand and forget all this is happening.
Absolutely. I have spent a lot of quality time under my coffee table in a fetal position. And every now and again, I'm still there. You know, you're back, even though I'm a year out of treatment.
Right. So before the break, we were talking about how, you know, your doctor felt, hey, the way to go is let's just, as she put it, do a double mastectomy. I mean, just, you know.
Just
do that. Lots of things I'm sure were going through your mind. You know, you wrote in one article about how you felt this was an attack on your sexuality, your femininity. Mm-hmm. Is that... When you heard that, I mean, tell us what your reactions were.
Oh, I was not happy. I had a meltdown, basically. I had a meltdown on the phone with the radiologist when she told me the results of the biopsy, that I was positive and I had 4 tumors, and that she thought most likely I was a good candidate for a double mastectomy. And possibly chemo, she said, because you're so young. And I still remember thinking, well, at least she said I was young.
Grasping onto any straw.
You know, the positive takeaway. But
Do you mind sharing what age you were at that time?
At that time, I was, I think, 52.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the following week, I had my first meeting with my breast cancer surgeon at the Swedish Cancer Institute, who is rock star surgeon, Claire Buchanan. But our first meeting was pretty rough. You know, she had to tell me the news that, yes, I have to have a double mastectomy. There's no lumpectomy. There's no any kind of ectomy that they could do and get out all the cancer, get all the tumors, because I had 2 tumors in each breast. And I wasn't particularly, you know, large-breasted. So, you know, they just had to take them all. Mm-hmm. And I was not happy about that. I wrote about how I went back and forth and... absolutely did not want to lose my girls. You know, I liked my girls.
Mm-hmm. And being single, I think that might factor into it even more than if you were married.
Maybe so. I'm not sure. You know, it wasn't for men that I wanted to keep my breasts, though.
Right.
It was for me.
Right.
You know, I ironically, you know, I always felt some of my best features, my hair and my breasts, you know, and then, you know, I ended up losing both. But you know, you also just appreciate that, you know, who you are. And I was not, you know, breasts didn't make me who I was. But I did go through a lot of, you know, searching and, you know, soul searching and trying to figure out what to do. I mean, I really considered just like taking off for Mexico and, you know, just living a short but happy life on some beach down there. And then, you know, on my tombstone, it would say she died with her boobs on, you know, just keeping them. But, you know, talking with the caregivers up at the Swedish Cancer Institute, they giving some more information from them, talking with other survivors, because I started doing that immediately. And talking with my family, my sisters, I've got 4 sisters, and every one of them would kill me if I died, so if that makes any sense.
Right.
If I did something foolish.
You had something to live for.
I had something to live for. I've got nieces and nephews. You know, I've got many, many friends and many, many loved ones. So, I have stories to tell.
Right.
So I, decided to go ahead and go through with it. But it was not easy. What I tried to do was have breast cancer my way. Like for instance, I had nipple sparing surgery, which some women don't even realize that they can do that with a mastectomy, and some women can't because of the nature of their tumors.
And so
they're doing more and more with trying to, when I hear mastectomy for the first time, number one, I thought, oh God, and now I'm going to have to learn how to pronounce that word.
Right.
Everybody stumbles on it, even if you have cancer. But, when I first heard about it, I just went directly to those radical mastectomies that you saw pictures of from 50 years ago. And, it's horrible and the idea that's going to happen to me. But then you become a little bit more informed and better informed. As I mentioned earlier, I read the Susan Love breast cancer book, and which is a great sort of Bible, and lots of information put out by, my caregivers and talking to other survivors. And you realize, it's not that bad. And you look at pictures and you think, okay, well, maybe I can get through that.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to keep something of myself. And in my case, I was fortunate in that the cancer was located far enough away from the tumors that they were able to save my nipples. So
they, without getting too graphic, I mean, they literally they cut them and keep them?
No. I mean, I've actually had women ask me that before. What do you keep them in a jar in your refrigerator or something like that?
I mean, people freeze things all the time.
No. It's basically I look like a 10-year-old girl.
Okay.
They cut the scars are off to the side.
Uh huh.
And with the nipple sparing, the scars are off to the side, and then they just go in and scoop out everything.
Oh, okay.
Many mastectomies, what they do is the scar will go directly across the front of the breast, and it'll take the nipple with it, and then they just, excise all the tissue, excise the nipple, and then sew you back up. And in my case, my surgeon made very small scars off to the side, scooped everything out. She worked very hard on saving my left nipple. They try to get what they call clean margins, and she sent samples back to the pathology three times trying to get clean margins on my nipple and was finally able to do it.
Wow.
So she worked hard for that nipple.
Well, that's good to know because I had not heard of that before. So, assuming there are listeners out there who haven't heard of that option either before. So you elected not to have reconstructive surgery at that point. And this was 2011 when you had the double mastectomy.
This was, it was in April of 2011, and it wasn't so much an election not to have reconstructive surgery because I would have totally gone for reconstructive surgery immediately. I wanted it at the same time as the mastectomy, but due to the location and the size and the number of the tumors, my caregivers, Dr. Buchanan, thought it would be best to wait to see what happens after surgery. And as it happened, once they got in there, the two tumors on the left side were actually one large tumor. And it was large enough to, put me into getting radiation. And I also had a little bit of lymph node involvement on the left mm-hmm. side. And that means that if you have cancerous cells in your lymph nodes, that means that the cancer can possibly travel to other parts of your body, what's known as metastasize.
Right.
Another one of those words you have to learn how to pronounce.
Right.
So because of the possibility of mets, as they call it in the breast cancer world, metastatic breast cancer, and because of the size of the tumors, I had to go into both chemo and radiation, and an immediate reconstruction after a double mastectomy followed by chemo and radiation isn't necessarily a good combo. With reconstruction, you can get lots of complications.
Mm-hmm.
I know a girlfriend, a BC buddy, as I call her, who was just hospitalized because she developed a really serious infection after her immediate reconstruction, after following her mastectomy. She was in chemo, and she just did not have the white blood count to fight off the infection. So they wanted to wait for reconstruction, and especially after radiation changes the nature of your skin, the makeup of your skin. It's much more difficult to stretch Like if you want to put a tissue expander behind it and stretch it out, it's much more difficult. I know it's complicated and kind of confusing, but they just told me you need to wait. I was completely pissed. I did not want to wait, but it was for my benefit.
Yeah, and I've heard that before, that some doctors recommend waiting just in case there's something there and the breast reconstruction might hide it.
So. Yeah, or because of the complications that can arise out of it. And at this point, I do want to get reconstruction very much. I just, you know, I'm kind of working it all out. It's complicated. It's not a boob job, you know.
I read in one of your articles, your doctor had said to you, or a doctor had said to you that, you know, you're on the way to, somebody's on their way to feeling better, and then you have to put yourself back in the patient situation when you go have the reconstructive surgery, because it's not having a boob job, as you said. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not quick and easy. That was Dr. Mindy Greenstein. Oh my gosh, I messed up her name. I think that's it.
I think you're right.
Yeah, she's great. She's a breast cancer survivor, I think two times over, and she was also, I think she's also an oncologist or, you know, so, something right in there. So she you know has dealt with it you know all of her life. But you don't want to put yourself back into the position of being a patient. I mean, I'm out there now. I'm a year out from treatment. I'm running. I'm dancing. I'm learning how to box. You know,
fight off that some of that rage. It helps you
absolutely
work off some of that rage you feel sometimes.
Absolutely, yeah. It's very healthy. It's cheapest therapy in town.
Yeah,
you know, and you know,
you said music helps.
Music
you a lot.
Helps me a lot. Running, I you know, throw my iPod on, and I've got you know a lot of some R&B or disco or whatever, and I just you know do my runs and exercise is you know very therapeutic for me. It's also very. It's something that I feel I can do as a survivor to keep cancer from recurring, from coming back.
Now, I want to ask you, we have to go to break in just a minute, but very quickly, in hindsight, you know, we're all geniuses. We all see things that we overlooked or we just, you know, brushed aside. In hindsight, before you were diagnosed, were there any symptoms? Were you aware of any changes in your body, tiredness, fatigue?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Never felt better in my life.
Wow.
Never felt better. As a matter of fact, even when I was going through chemo, people kept saying to me, "My God, you look so healthy. What's your secret?" And I was really tempted to say, "Cancer."
Oh.
But no, I had just lost a bunch of weight. I was exercising regularly. I was eating right. You know, I was very healthy. The only thing that was, there was no pain. There was no fatigue. The only thing was this weird little tuck on one of my breasts, just the tiniest little thing, you know.
Well, that shows us how important it is that we do those
self-exams.
Yeah.
And get things checked out if there's a change in your breast. It wasn't a lump. I thought if it's breast cancer, it's going to be a lump. Guess what? They're not all lumps.
Yeah, it can be dents and dimples, tucks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, well, we're going to take a quick break. Wow. I'm shocked you didn't have any, like, you know, looking back, there were no symptoms there, because I've often heard people say, well, yeah, looking back, I felt overtired or this was going on, but
nope.
Yeah. Okay. Those exams, those self-exams are really important now then. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. My guest is Diane Mapes, and we will be right back with you.
Hi, I'm Richard Roundtree. I'm a breast cancer survivor. Yes, you heard me right. Men get breast cancer too, and men need just as much help understanding what their doctors tell them as women do. But where do you go to get that kind of help? Go to breastcancer.org, a special place on the internet that helps you understand the kind of cancer you have, your treatment options, and all the big words your doctor uses. Breastcancer.org is the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
OMG! Grammar abuse is no LOL! Hire a copywriter today and make sure your business communications rise above the crowd and deliver the results you need. Call 800-495-7617 today. BTW, IMHO, copywriters rule. Call 800-495-7617. BFN.
If you love dogs, tune in to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes live every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. We'll talk about everything dog and interview authors, experts, and amazing organizations both locally and nationally. And don't even get me started on the pet food industry. I'm Julie Forbes. Find us online at www.dogradioshow.com and also as a free podcast on iTunes. The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, an evolved perspective on life with dogs.
Next week on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, Seattle-based food and lifestyle blogger and web TV host Holly Brown says cooking should be fun and dining at home with friends is the best form of entertainment. Hear how Holly developed her perfect lifestyle alongside her winemaker husband and how you can make your home the hub for friends, food, and laughter. Tune in Mondays at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair and listen to podcasts at conversationslive.net.
Outside the box, outside the norm, inside your radio. Alternative Talk, 1150.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, and my guest in this segment is Diane Mapes. She's a Seattle journalist and author and breast cancer survivor. And she's been sharing her journey with us, and I think you'd agree that she's being really open and honest. Not an easy subject to talk about this, but I want to just kick off the next segment with something fun because... Diane's had a busy week last week. She had a couple of articles break out, and then one of the, you tell me about this. It was in Seattle Magazine. Diane, she was voted one of the most fascinating singles in Seattle.
I would also add, I'm the oldest single that they featured in there. Very quite a distinction. Yeah, that was a little odd. They put out a call for people to nominate, you know, their friends or family members, and,
yeah,
and one of my girlfriends apparently nominated me, and they fell for it.
Interesting. You grew up right here in Skagit Valley on a strawberry farm. How
I did. I grew
that?
Up. Yeah, I grew up about an hour north of Seattle.
Yeah.
And I still most of my family is still in the state. I've got four sisters. One sister lives in Dallas. Although when I was going through treatment, when I went through surgery and treatment, she came up and helped a lot and, you know, helped me get through it many different ways, mm-hmm. one of which was completely redecorating my apartment.
That helps. It's nice to have fresh, clean stuff around us.
I know it. I woke up from this drug-induced haze, and she was carrying in, you know, a couple of, you know, carpets and lamps and I don't know what else from, you know, IKEA or something. Mm.
Well, one of the things that you do is write. You used to write for the Seattle PI, as we said in the beginning, a column called Single Shot, which is also a blog. But you also have Double Whammy as a blog. Is that a blog or just your tweet, Twitter account?
I tweet. I started tweeting immediately after being diagnosed as Double_Whammy on Twitter. And then when I decided to write about it, in October, which was of last year, I decided to write about it. My editors at NBCNews.com asked me if I would be open about it. And when I wrote a series of essays last October about the cancer, I started another blog called Double Whammied. And then I have, you know, been writing about the breast cancer there.
Right.
As
so
well.
People want to hear more of what you have to say because you've written a lot on this. They can find you at DianeMapes.net and
doublewhammy.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
We're talking about, you know, having the mastectomy, and once that's over and the chemo's over, I mean, there's still stuff going on with your body. It's not, okay, I've had the surgery, I've had the treatment. You talk about how you'd have pain, you'd have chemo brain.
Oh, yeah. I'm surprised I can even remember my name sometimes. No, it's not that bad, but I have noticed some changes with chemo brain. For me, I particularly notice it because I've forgotten how to spell certain words, and I've always been a really good speller. And then little things like I'll be giving someone my address over the phone, and I'll forget what my address is, and I'll have to pick up a piece of mail and actually look at the address. Or I'll forget people's names, you know, like your producer here that you introduced me to earlier.
Well, I have this problem all the time.
Not with Eric, but maybe, you know, so maybe it's age or maybe it's chemo brain.
But
spelling, I think, is for me, that's a kickoff that it's chemo brain.
Yeah. And being a writer, I mean, that must be disturbing to you.
Yes,
I would think
it's a little bit disturbing.
Let's talk about what other people, because, you know, when you go through any life challenge, whether it's a death or an illness, any kind of loss, people oftentimes don't know what to say. And sometimes they'll say really dumb things. in an attempt to try and lighten the mood or, you know, they just don't know what to say. And one of the things you said, told me, was that a woman walked up to you in the grocery store once and said, oh, sucks to be you.
No, that was actually didn't happen to me. It happened to one of my Twitter buddies.
Okay.
Yeah. This was a woman who, you know, was not wearing a wig. She was either wearing a scarf or was just going commando, as I call it, you know, without a wig or a scarf, just going bald. And someone actually came up to her and thought that that was an appropriate thing to say. I don't know if they were just too cool for school, if it was sort of a, you know, a hipster cool thing or what. But I just thought that is that's the most boneheaded thing you could possibly say to somebody. You know?
A lot of the women who blogged on their journey with cancer said that breast cancer said that losing their hair was very traumatic for them. And one of the things that they got really sick of hearing was when people said, but you have the perfect
bald head.
Yeah.
I got that too. I didn't mind when people told me that because I knew they were trying to be kind, but I will. But losing your hair is very traumatic. It's horrible. You know, I've never had short hair. Maybe it was more traumatic for, it's maybe it's more for women who've always had long hair, but it, I mean, you just, I called myself a space alien. I looked in the mirror and it's like, who the hell is that? I, you know, no hair, completely radiated chest, no boobs. And I would feel like this freak of nature, so I would start doing what I call the space alien dance in the mirror, you know, and just trying to make the most of it. It's like, well, if I'm going to look like a freak, I'm going to get my freak on.
There you go. So what is it you would like to say to people? What do you wish people knew? And this, we're talking about your journey because everybody's experience is going to be different. And but what, you know, looking back, what do you wish people had really understood when you were going through? I'm sure there was an incredible amount of fear there, and you know, maybe there still is for you, Diane.
Sure, I think that when you're done with treatment, it's not like you're given a, you know, some kind of a certificate from the hospital that says, you know, you're cancer free. You know, you still have to live with the fear of recurrence. You have to live with the fear of metastatic breast cancer. I guess that people have been very kind to me. I cannot express how grateful I am for all the love and support that I've received from friends and family, and even from, you know, people that I didn't know that well, from acquaintances. You know, people have been, on the whole, terrific. There have been a couple of stinkers. You know, I've lost a couple friends, a couple very close friends disappeared into the wind, you know, but on the whole, things have been good. I think that just be patient with people and let them know you love them if they're going through this,
right,
and let them
right.
know you're there.
I was shocked to see how many husbands left their wives. And I know wives leave their husbands when they get sick, too. But the incidence of husbands leaving wives is much, much greater because they, quote, can't cope with it. And yet here's their wife going through this.
Yes, men have a hard time losing their breasts, don't they?
I guess they do. So you write a dating blog. You've written a ton about dating.
And a book about dating.
A book about dating.
And I'm trying to date.
And you're trying to date. So, you know, tell us, we've only got like a minute left here, but when do you tell somebody?
Oh, good question.
You said in the beginning of the show, I'm basically telling everyone.
Telling all the men at one fell swoop.
Because okay. You're writing about it.
No boobs, all right? Okay. Just slap it out there. I have told them, you know, before I've met them, if it's an online kind of situation. Sometimes, you know, sometimes you meet a few times and then you tell them, you know, sometimes they know from the get-go. It just all depends. Mm-hmm. I'm still trying to figure that whole thing out.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, final thought you'd like to leave our listeners with today?
Final thought. Oh, I don't know. I think that women may want to keep in mind that if you're diagnosed with breast cancer, it is not the end of the world, and it is possible to, quote unquote, have breast cancer your way. I mean, I was able to have a nipple sparing mastectomy. That was very important to me. I had a wig made out of my own hair by a fellow here in Bellevue. My friends and family all chipped in and helped me pay for it. I had my head shaved and they made my hair into a wig at Anton's House of Hair, I think is the name of the place. But, you know, little things like that, you know, I wanted to pass. I didn't want to look like I was sickly. You know, I didn't want to be cancer chick. And I was able to do that. And that I was able to run, keep, you know, jogging and dancing through half of my chemo. I jogged through, you know, all of my radiation. So it's possible to go out there and have a life and not be,
right,
you know, feel like you're branded as being, you know, sickly.
Right. Well, I really appreciate you being with us today. I really appreciate you being so open and honest, and it's not easy to talk about. And I encourage listeners, you know, if you're interested in learning more about Diane, check out her website, and I'll have her give that to you in just a moment. And read some of the articles she's written. You can tell she's got a great sense of humor, and sometimes that's what we need to help us carry through. So the best website for people to contact.
It's www.doublewhammied.com.
All right, doublewhammied.com. Thanks so
much for having me, Vicki.
My pleasure. And again, Diane Mapes, my guest. And you can find out more about us at conversationslive.net. You can reach me at 800-495-7617, 800-495-7617, or info@conversationslive.net. See you next week. Live well, live strong.
Hi, this is Vicki St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.